Because you got to guard your heart. Man, this in this evil day we're living in, your heart has got to learn to be, you got to learn how to protect your heart. You just have to. There are some things I don't watch on TV. There are some commercials I just delete as they play, or I turn the volume off while it's playing, because their commercials come so they can become a part of your speech. And then your speech is going to create your daily routine. You know, we didn't know all those different kind of dish liquids out there until they put it on the commercial. A lot of the stuff you're using today is because the commercial told you. Because you didn't know they were there until you saw it on TV or heard it on the radio. So you got to guard your heart, because the devil is trying to infiltrate your space where you are. Hearken unto me, verse 24, chapter 7. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O you children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she's cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. What are you talking about? See, people that talk a certain way, he's talking about the harlot. But the harlot is the person that plays against the kingdom of God. See, harlotry is not just sleeping around, but harlotry is the way you think. Because if you're choosing the thoughts of the enemy over the thoughts of God, you are committing harlotry. That's adultery. You're supposed to be married to Jesus. So my mind is supposed to be sanctified unto his thoughts, his ideas, his plans. And when I allow the enemy to use my mind, I am committing spiritual harlotry. I'm playing with my Savior's enemy. I'm entertaining his thoughts. See, so he's saying, you got to understand that those thoughts are going to lead you to the way of hell, though. They're not going to lead you to the road of delivery and prosperity. They're going to lead you to the road of hell. You know, it's kind of like pornography. You get started, you look at it a couple of times, then you turn it off. You're like, okay, wait, they're not going to really bother me. And then before you know it, you're addicted to it. Then you got to be delivered from it. And it started with you deciding to play, to entertain something that you already know is wrong. Whenever you do something that you already know is wrong and you can't let nobody else in on it, better know it's from the devil. So you need to cast down those thoughts. Turn to Luke 12. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Luke 12, verse 15. All right. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. See, now he's talking about the spirit of greed entering in. Because, you know, greed can impact your life just like harlotry. We talked about that on last Sunday. Greed is a terrible spirit. You're not satisfied with what God got you right now. You just got, you want my spot, your spot, everybody's spot. You're not content with where you are. See, we always relate this to just money. No, greed can filtrate every area of your life, just like sin, because greed is a sin. If you shouldn't overeat, you shouldn't overspend. You shouldn't desire somebody else's place. Whoa, Jesus. Now, if God gives that place to you, that's one thing. But I shouldn't be wanting to be the praise and worship leader and want her spot. Not because I can sing so good. No, I'm having a problem with the praise and worship leader because I want her spot. Listen to me. We're in that era. We're living in this day and time that if you're not careful, these things will overcharge your heart. And you be desiring stuff that you can't even handle if you got it today. If somebody gave you the responsibility of being the praise and worship leader or the band or the ministers of music, you couldn't do it. Or if somebody said, come in here and operate the camera. What do you know about cameras? We're not talking about your cell phone. That's the only camera you know. We're talking about things that make the difference. Do you see how this can seep into your heart? He says, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things that he possesses. You know, people got a whole lot of stuff, but I don't mean they're living. Because behind the closed doors, what is really going on? He says, so you better be on your guard against any type of greed. Because your life is not, because I shouldn't be greedy for anything. I don't care who's getting ahead. Maybe look like you're making more money than somebody. You shouldn't be greedy and wanting them, I'm going to go do this. You know, y'all know about my $12 ring. We had some greedy people back then that went in debt. Because I was wearing, my husband had promised me some rings. And I was just waiting. But in the meantime, you know, I went to the little local, Asian shop. I went to an Asian shop. I used to say another word, but they said, no, that's not really nice. But, you know, that's a type of furniture. But anyway, I went to the Asian store, and I bought me at least three $12 rings. It was pretty. Looked almost like this ring I got on my finger. Now, this is real. And my boo gave me this one. But people were sitting there. They saw that $12 ring. They said, oh, well, if she got one, I could go get one. But their husband won't in agreement. So they were buying that stuff. I said, oh, your ring's so pretty. They said, yeah, I saw you had such and such. And I'm going like, and then when Pastor put that 3-carat on my finger, see, it messed them up. I never had to ask for a diamond because I wasn't greedy for one. I didn't put my household, my husband, or even my children in a position because I was greedy. You got to be careful, all types of greed. You can buy so much stuff. You know, I had to learn how to temper because, you know, I'm a crafter. And crafters, you know, we like everything. And, you know, we don't throw away hardly nothing. We like a whole lot of stuff because we craft. We can see something being made out of that. But you had to be careful that you don't step over into the line of greed. Because you'll buy more than necessary and it'll sit there and rot before you ever use it. Because that's the spirit of greed affecting you. I'm helping you this morning, I know. You had to take heed to yourselves. Look at Luke 21. Verse 34, because the challenge in this final hour is to mess with our heart, that we stop trusting the God that we say we serve. And sometimes you can do a lot of damage to your heart chasing after the things. This is why Matthew 6:33 warns us not to put anything else before I walk with God. You don't put anything before that. Mm-mm. Are you there? And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with satiety and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. Oh, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. He says, be careful that you are not caught off guard and your hearts be weighted down with carousing, having good time, because you can overindulge your flesh all in the name of having fun, and you don't have no time to pray because you're so busy entertaining. You got to be careful, because that's a form of greed. It's all right to have fun, but you should need a vacation every month. Something wrong with your house and your spirit. Get it fixed. Because these things will creep in, and they'll weigh down your heart. And when your heart is weighed down, you cannot hear the Spirit of God talking to you to move in a certain direction. Jesus is coming soon, people. Jesus is so soon to come that we can't afford to be out of touch. The alarm has already been sent. We are in the last days of the last days. We might be the last generation that be on this earth before Jesus come back. We are it. And if you're not ready to serve God, I pray for you today. You need to make up your mind to serve the Lord. Those online, you need to make up your mind. Quit playing like you love the Lord when you are greedy for what you are doing. That's why you don't make no effort to come to the house of God. This is why you can come whenever it's convenient for you. Oh, now I know. Oh, okay, I know. He says, be careful that you don't allow your hearts to grow cold. Be careful that you don't grow cold in the midst of sitting right amongst a powerful word. Because you know you're already thinking about what you got to do next, and you're not really paying attention to the word that's coming for. You know? You got your dinner to finish up. All of us want to eat when we leave here. That's what most of us going to do when we leave church today. We're going to find us something to eat. Well, don't think about it right now. Since you're not going out the door, don't think about your food right now. Let's pay attention to this word. He says, because the worries of this life is going to weigh you down as though you are a drunken person. And then that day, what day? The day of Jesus' arrival. You need to read Matthew 25 and what happened to the five foolish virgins over there. And that day come upon you and you not even be aware of it. So he says, keep a constant watch over your soul and pray. And keep praying. Why? Because we need to stay in contact, in tune with the plans of God, the will of God. Turn to Acts 20. This is Apostle Paul. No, that's not Apostle Paul. But, yeah, this is Apostle Paul. He's teaching this in Acts 20. This is him talking. Hallelujah. He says, because you got to be careful of the people that you hang out with. You got to pay attention to who you make covenants with, that you come into agreement with. The Bible got things that to keep us from falling into traps. Now listen, in this final hour, don't be co-signing for people just because you love them. Why should you lose your bed because they're losing theirs? Don't co-sign for people. That's something I have never done, is co-sign for nobody. Now, I help you as much as I can, but why should I ruin my credit? Take a chance on your credit. Now, if your credit not good enough to get you what you are pursuing, and you're not going to believe God to help you, I'm not putting my credit at stake. I've never had to ask any one of my children to co-sign for nothing. Don't never intend to. See, you got to be careful how you operate in this final hour. I don't care who it is. Might be mama. I don't care. Don't co-sign. Just go ahead and smile. You'll be all right. You're going to make it through this one. I'm giving you practical things that will help you overcome in life. We got to get out of our emotional state. Mama might say, well, I can't hardly pay my rent. Okay, let's pray. Mama, do you believe Jesus? Because I'm not your answer. Now, I help you. I'm not. Now, I ain't going to let you sit outdoors in the cold, but I'm not co-signing no loan for you to pay your rent. Not going to do that one. Then you get stuck with the bill if you want to keep your credit good. Anybody hearing this? These are the things that weigh you down and overcharge your heart. And God is telling us to guard our hearts in this final hour. Acts 20, verse 26. Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. This is Apostle Paul. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock. Now he's talking to leadership. Over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God. See the word coming to me now. That I don't do the same thing I'm teaching you. I can't go home and get overcharged in my heart. Why? Because I got an assignment. I got to look out for you. I can't go home and get in and sit down and pull out my bowl of ice cream and crying over top of a bowl of ice cream about what's not and what's this and this happening. You know, even when y'all have little stuff, I thank God we don't have that in here now, but you know, when all that stuff was creeping up, I had to learn how to dismantle that stuff in my heart. I can't let that stuff build a fortress. You can't let church people build a fortress in your heart like that. When negative things take place, deal with them, confront it, get rid of it. But don't let it build a house in you. And if you got something, you need to go deal with the person. Stop telling somebody else. Go deal with the person. That's the Bible way. You know why? Because that's going to free you and help free them. And nobody else had to know it. Because the whole church should know that you're upset with brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. They shouldn't be in there. See, we got to guard our hearts. But everybody not ready to do the Bible yet. We rather talk about it, discuss it, get somebody else's opinion. And by the time you talk to brother or sister so-and-so, it's a mess. Because everybody done added their flavor to the conversation. It's a mess. When you could have gone directly, they said the shortest way to any point is a straight line. Go straight to the person. Why? Now your heart can be free. But as long as you're considering that, your heart is not free. It's a weight in there, just waiting. It's still building because it's still in your heart. This Apostle Paul talking to me. He says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. He says, also of your own selves shall men arise. He said, people are going to rise against you, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Didn't we go through that? Liars came and sat amongst us to draw people away. They took some. And then those that were the flock stayed. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I've ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. See, that's what every pastor have to do. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. He says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. I didn't get greedy for none of y'all stuff. I rejoice with you. He says, as a leader, as a pastor, those in leadership roles in this church, you cannot operate in covetousness. You can't want somebody else's money or their clothes or their house. it can be an inspiration to you. But Paul says, yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessity and to them that were with me. So in other words, Pastor Diana, have you worked? I work all the time. 24/7, I'm on call. God can call me anytime to pray for either one of you. I'm always working. And often he does, because sometimes some of y'all in trouble. And sometimes I see it, but I can't talk to you yet because I got to do what God tell me to do. Because you know what? When God show a pastor stuff about the flock, he's doing that so he can send the alarm. First, the pastor must pray. Then secondly, the alarm comes across this pulpit. He's trying to give you what you need to correct what's wrong before there's a direct correction. Because God don't want anybody to go to hell. And Apostle Paul says, now as leaders, he says, you got to do this. He says, you can't let this stuff weigh you down. He says, because I've showed you all things, how that so laboring, you are to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I understand that exactly. So he says to pastor, to those in leader, he was talking to his the pastor he was leaving behind because he knew he wasn't going to see them anymore. He says, I ain't been after your money. And everybody that left here that said that I was after the money, you lied. And you know you lied. Because if I was in it for the money, I'd have found another career. You don't do this for money. You don't take on the responsibility of souls for money. This is not a crossover business kind of thing. No, you don't take the responsibility of people's lives for money. You don't do it for gain. If you do, you're going to be in trouble. And don't think because you're not having trouble now that it's not coming. The devil is building. He's building. Because the greater your embarrassment, the more people fall. See, the bigger you are, the greater you fall. We're experiencing that in the body of Christ right now. You need to pray for the people that are falling, and you need to pray for the people that's being victimized by it. The whole body of Christ is suffering because of it. It's nothing to laugh at or to smear at or to just go to, I'm going to share that with my friend across the town in another state. I'm going to click that and send it to them. You need to be delivered from you. Because you shouldn't want somebody else to capitalize on somebody else's failure. If people knew what you were doing, the only reason they don't know your style because you ain't famous. Everybody got something they're working on. And then he said, one translation says in verse 35, Apostle Paul said, I've left you an example of how you should serve. Now that's got to come back to the body of Christ. Everybody can't be leaders and heads and pastors. And I mean, who going to work? If everybody giving orders, who gonna work? He says, I left you an example of how to serve. I've done everything in this church but work the cameras. From cleaning, to hauling equipment, to praise and worship, to working the board. None of it. You know why? Because it's not about me. It's about what God needs. It's a service. It's what's got to get over to people. We got to get out of this funk of thinking we're so special. Your heart is overcharged with you. You got too much of you on your heart. We got to get out of this thinking that we got to do something, got to come serve us. No. Learn to serve where you are, and God will elevate you. And I mean, do it wholeheartedly. I don't care what it is. If you're going to sweep the floor, do it good. Do everything with an excellent spirit. Because Apostle Paul said, I've left you an example of how you should serve and take care of those that are weak. Hallelujah. Turn to Philippians 4. Are you still learning? Because we're going to overcome this stuff this year. God's got some places he want to take this church, and we got to go ahead and grow up. So we're going to let this thing, we're going to put a cap on this year. We're going to look back at 2023, and at the end of 2024, we're going to see how much we have grown. Hallelujah. Philippians 4, look at verse 4. We're getting ready to talk about that rejoicing, because we talked about it in the laws of prosperity. Are you there? Say, I have it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That was a very fitting song that Minister Casey sung this morning. Because you got to rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto... Moderation. Wait a minute. What that word mean, moderation? What is moderation? What? We're gonna help you with that word in just a minute. Let's finish reading. But let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, and the peace of God, and the peace of God. If you're not in peace, it's because something is overcharging your heart. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, which means you don't have proper understanding about something. And when you don't have proper understanding, you have no peace. Shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, he said he's going to help your mind. Think on these things. Say, think on these things. Whatever's true, what's true? The word is always true. Can you think on the word? Absolutely. Whatsoever things are honest. Stop looking for those little round the corner kind of stuff that mess with your integrity. I recently was dealing with somebody and they had wanted me to sign a document. But if I had signed the document, I'd have lied. Because what they said they had done, they had not done. But see, it was supposed to give me a great advantage in getting a better rate at something. I'm going like, the devil is a lie. I ain't lying because you didn't do that for me. Slip, see, you got to be careful because the wolves are after you. He says, think on these things that are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. See, you're not supposed to be thinking ugly. Whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, in other words, if there be any excellence, and if there be any praise, if there be any praise, think on these things. Can you find something to praise God about? Think on it. Then he said, think on the things that you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Do that. Oh, you don't see Pastor Dana coming here depressed. There's a reason. Because I don't get depressed. Because I don't think about it. And the God of peace shall be with you. Woo, Jesus. And the God of peace. Now, what is that moderation? It's talking about, he says, to be unselfish and considerate. So now, being selfish is going to weigh your heart down. And being inconsiderate. I'm inconsiderate if I go to deal with Katie and all I'm interested in is what I get from it. That is selfish. It's going to weigh your heart down. Because I should be equally interested in how she fare in it. To make sure her end is just as good as mine or better. Oh, Pastor, you teaching better than the choir singing. He says, let everyone see that you are unselfish and that you are considerate in all that you do. Because remember, the Lord is coming very soon, and you don't want to get caught being childish and selfish. It is not your passport to heaven. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. When a need arise, talk to God. But don't forget to thank him for the answer. Ooh, Jesus. If you do this, you're going to experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. Because his peace will keep us in all seasons, all times of life. His peace will keep us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to read this from Divorce Translation, starting with, let's just start with verse 4. I'll just read through it. Most of all, friends, always rejoice in the Lord. I never tire of saying rejoice. Makes me happy. Keep your gentle nature so that all people would know what it looks like to walk in Jesus' footsteps, because the Lord is ever present with us. Don't be anxious about things. Instead, pray. Pray about everything. He longs to hear your requests. So talk to God about things and be thankful for what he has done. Ah, Jesus. Now, that's a good way to go into his presence, thanking him for what he's already done. And know that the peace of God, a peace that is beyond any and all of our human understanding, will stand watch over your hearts and minds in Jesus, the anointed one. Finally, brothers and sisters, fill your minds with beauty and truth. Meditate on whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, whatever is virtuous and praiseworthy. Keep to the script. Whatever you learned and received and heard and saw in me, do it. And the God of peace will walk and live in you. Ooh, Jesus. That's how you keep your heart free. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, did you learn anything this morning?